Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Since you should hear, you can take a break. From a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
Another time, date, or even day, but you are listening to Bonnie Albers on Air, and it is a Monday afternoon. It is bright and sunny in Florida, and I'm so happy to be here with you. You know, I am a psychic spirit intuitive medium. I'm a life coach, and I'm all the above of anything you could think, LOL. And you can find me on BonnieAlbersOnAir.com, which will tell you a little bit more. You can see my bio and contact me there. And I am the host of your show. I love bringing you airwaves because I have the greatest guests, the greatest people with me. And I today have the fabulous, the crazy, the absolutely wonderful Queen Z, Susan Z, please join me today And say hello to all the people that are waiting for both of us. Hi.
Oh, I forgot that you allowed me to mute me this time instead of you muting me.
That's
it
right.
Was like I'm waiting to hear that unmuted.
That's right. That's... Well, I'm not doing that anymore because you get upset and I get upset. So this way I don't have to think I'm muting you. You're muting yourself. How's that sound?
I know. If people don't understand when you're like a guest on somebody's show, to hear that you have been muted is probably like, excuse me? You know?
Well, so, do you remember when that happened to me the first time I was on the air? I think I was on with Psychic Goldwire.
Yes, I remember you telling me, you called me after the show and said, he kept on muting me. I don't understand.
Yeah, well, I didn't know the airwaves, so I didn't know
that
that's
you could
do
that. Well, that's because he was jealous. Yeah, he was jealous because you were giving better information than him. And then eventually he just got like, what, he just quit or bumped off the air or something like that. He just blew him out of the water, Bonnie.
Well, you know what? Thank goodness, Susan, because you and I started this a while ago. And if it wasn't for that he booted me off the air, actually with a million other people, I wouldn't have had my own show. So I have to thank him wherever he is for that wonderful start and boot off so that I could have my own show. And that's probably
that's
no,
true.
They say, yeah,
everything
you,
is
you,
divine
you,
order, as they say.
Absolutely. And you were the one that said that. You said, Bonnie, don't say such not great things because he did you a favor. And when I look back on it, I always said that if he ever needed anything, I would give it to him because he did help me get on the radio and he did help my career in radio. So no matter what, it was wonderful. And always look at the glass half full. But besides that, I'm never muting you again, girlfriend, because that got me in trouble. So never am I muting you. You'll have to mute your own self.
Well, you know, I mean, if you really stop and think about almost any circumstance that you run into in life that you feel insulted or less than or neglected or something, it teaches you to grow and to be stronger and to become more. And that's exactly what he did to you. He taught you first of all how not to treat your guests and how not a radio show. So and then pushed you. It's like, well, you know, screw you. I'll just have my own show. You know,
you're right. And I was so grateful and thankful to you, whoever he is, and he knows who it is. I am grateful and thankful, and I will always be. But you, my girlfriend, are so wonderful. I don't even came and tell people. I didn't give you the proper. I wanted you on first before I actually gave you the proper accolades. But Susan, you are a very rare and wonderful Akashic medium, and I am lucky that I have met you years ago. I feel like it's been like lifetimes ago, but it
forever.
Is just a few years and forever and forever and a day. And you are also one of the top tarot readers that I have ever come across, and I just think you're wonderful at everything you do. You are also the wonderful author of Soul Windows, Secret from the Divine, of which I hate to give up the title to because I swear I downloaded that book to you, but it is one that I've used in both sides of my practice, the metaphysical side and the physical side, and it straddles both worlds so wonderful that I recommend this book to everybody. And in fact, we're going to go over another Soul Window today. So I want to thank you, Susan, for always being here and being my super wonderful, fabulous friend.
Well, thank you, Bonnie. And I do so thoroughly enjoy coming on the show. And we're also friends, so that makes it even more fun. But we were talking last week.
Soul family.
Yes.
You were supposed to say, oh, no, we're just not friends. We're soul family. I waited for you to say that, but you didn't, so I had to. Okay.
I know.
Thanks for
adding that. But we were just talking about last week after last week's show that how interesting the Akashic records are from people that are calling in, that they're getting so complicated and all the different visuals and this information that's being downloaded into people from other dimensions and ascended masters and from
Absolutely.
Other planetary beings. It's very cool. Very cool.
It's very cool. And I'm going to tell you, girlfriend, I can't do it without you, because when you open them up, I fly in and see what you're seeing, but I can't do and open them like you can. And I know you don't open them. The people do, but they allow you to. And I love that. And you are so special and so wonderful. I hold my breath at each time when you go, oh, really? What is that? Oh my. And you just sound so into the moment.
it's the joke. The joke is on me. I mean, this is we make plans and God laughs. I hate riddles. I don't like to do puzzles. I don't like to play games.
I don't either.
I mean, I want the answer in front of me, and it's like if I could. But I would imagine that if I could just read the book, it wouldn't be as being an. I don't want to say the word entertaining, because that's not real. But it really makes you think about how beautifully it's all planned out. But they put these visuals in front of me, and I sit there and look at it, and I have to figure out, what the hell are they trying to say to me? And it's
I love it. Heaven or hell.
It's like a big riddle. And when we started this, I thought, oh, my God, what if I get a picture and I can't figure out what it is, but it just always comes. I mean, sooner or later.
Absolutely. And I just love the visuals, and I love to jump in and watch. So, and I always have my input. So I love that.
Pretty nasty. Hands and dead bodies, and we'll go,
The more gorier and gruesome, the more I love it. So I just get, I mean, the field of flowers is great. I know what that means, but oh my God, when you opened up that one with had all those corpses in the box, I loved it. So,
I can't even remember what that was, but it was like, all the bodies were lined up, wrapped up, mummied, and we went, okay.
I remember. But before we get into taking anybody, we're up to some soul windows, and we just haven't, because of Halloween and, wanting to know what goes bump in the night, we didn't go to the next soul window. And I do want to get the soul windows over to people. So, Susan, soul window four. And then, before that, you might as well tell everybody where to find you, how to get a hold of you, because you do this for a living, and what you actually do in 60 seconds or less.
Oh, okay. Start the clock. Okay. Easiest way to find me is actually to Google my name, Susan Z. Rich, R-I-C-H, and that'll take you to my White Wings Foundation website. I do tarot readings. I sell my CDs, my Empowered Thinking Hypnosis CDs there. I also sell holistic products off of my site. I also do the Akashic Records opening readings. So I'm available. You can basically go to my site, which is szrwhitewings.com. But like I said, and my email is szrich@aol.com. The easiest way is just Google me, Susan Z. Rich Psychic. Or just Susan Z. Rich, and you'll see a whole page pop up of all the different things, and just click on White Wings Foundation, and you can reach me. The book is available on Amazon.com. From my site, there's a direct link that on the CDs and books page. So that's the easiest way to get a hold of me.
And she does so much more. One day we'll have enough time to tell you. So I think we're going to save like one. You know what? If we don't, which is never the case, but if we don't have any callers up until the end, maybe one day, I'm just thinking, we'll go into all the things and other things that you do, Susan, because they're so cool too.
Oh,
but let's
that's
get
so
to
nice.
Soul. Yeah, because why? I say that? Because you've never had that happen, so I don't have to worry about it. happening. But, you know, but one day, you know, sometimes we have technical difficulties and it kicks everybody off. And at that point, we'll tell everybody all about your MP3 players that are coming out and all kinds of things that you offer in the health and, you know, wellness aspect. And, you know, I just don't, we don't have time right this second.
A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything and good at everything. So, Susan, let's go into the fourth soul window. Is that number four? Fifth one.
Yeah, I think we've already done the fourth. First of all, before we, real quick, for any new listeners that we have, explain actually what a soul window is. It is an age window. It is where we make transformation. We are re-imprinted. New chips open up. We begin to feel differently, want different things. As my favorite saying, otherwise you would be seeing grandmas walking around with their Barbie dolls.
Hey, don't say that. I never played with Barbie dolls, but I don't plan to look like a grandma.
It's a visual. But that's exactly how it is designed. And as the body grows, and you know, you watch our biggest growth is for the first 15 years physically, but then once we hit that second soul window, that happens around 15 years, then most of it is on internally and emotionally, and the chips start going off as to what we're here to do and the soul is to learn. So it's aging windows, and your husband, who is a medical man, read the book and said that it fits right into the category of what the medical field understands about the aging of the body, the emotions and the physical thing going through. Well, what my book does is that it acts spiritual and the physical and the emotional together, so that we understand what our soul is trying to accomplish. So, having said all that, we'll talk about what the fifth soul window is.
I just gotta say something. Wait, Susan, I just have to say something in your behalf, of course. But your book, I don't read that. I mean, I used to devour.
I'd hate to shut me down. I mean, it's after all.
Well, the thing was, I am going to say something about your book, or I wouldn't have, because, you know, God forbid, but I have to tell you, and you're a fabulous speaker, so I don't want to do that. But when I read this book, guys, I have read every metaphysical book. I still read them. People send them to me. I have people on the show as authors, but I usually don't go back and read them more than once. Susan's book, I actually had to read three times. You could say it's my memory, but really it's so powerful in such a little book that you're going to want to keep this as a book reference. It's kind of like a Webster's Dictionary of the hormones. But go ahead, Susan. Now five. So window number five.
Okay, now we're talking about the fifth soul window. It's basically, it hits us around 39, 40 years old and on up until about 45, 46. And it is the soul window preceding the biggest one, which is cry and return, which we'll probably get to next week. Basically what I call this one is feeling our mortality. It's like that's when we begin to realize, or I know, it's like we begin to realize there is an end game to this adventure. We're looking at our parents aging and realizing that they're not going to be around forever, or we have maybe lost a parent as they've gotten older. And we start looking at what life would be possibly like when we do get older and what we envision it will be. It's a prelude, a window of kind of like laying the foundations of making the major life changes in preparation to the big soul window, cry on return. And it really when I talk about how we are imprinted, and these literally we get rewired, re-imprinted, and new chips go off, because we really don't actually think about the fact or feel the energy of that we're not going to live forever. I mean, we
That's
know
right.
intellectually that, you know, we're born, we live a life, and we die. And especially now in Aquarius energy, we're watching so much loss of life, and we look at it and this is so unnecessary, this is so violent, but there's a reason for all of this that is going on. And I've mentioned this before, that we are in ascension and apocalypse at the same time. The energy is vibrating at such a higher light vibration that it is forcing us to address the negativity, the false gods that we have made, money and prestige. We've lost our compassion. And so everything that is being put in front of us, the fact that there's so many young lives that are being lost. Now through unnecessary, emotional violence. And this is the window when it hits us the hardest, and we realize, wow, we are at our halfway mark, to our halfway mark, because under the assumption that all of us are going to be lived to 80 or 90, that's how we look at it, which is very possible now, which is pretty.
Hey, Susan, I just have to tell you this. Now I'm so happy that I'm such a high vibration that you all are going to come up and meet me. I know it took you a second.
Listen, Tinkerbell, they call that a attention deficit.
I knew. I just waited. I knew you would get it.
Vibrations. Although you... you're vibrating there pretty high, or else you wouldn't be able to hear and see spirit so well. So yes, that's definitely something to that. But that is the fifth soul window, and a lot of our callers are in that age group, and also in cry on return. So next week when we talk about the major soul window of cry on return, which is the baby boomers have just gone through that, and they're just the 10 years before and 10 years after. That's why you're seeing such major upheaval. There are more light workers and light seekers that are incarnated on Earth in the history of humankind right now, because we are truly in, and I don't like to use the word battle, we are truly in the struggle between light and darkness. And of course, there is only one energy, and that is light and love. The anything other than that is the absence of. There's no duality.
I love when you say that, because people say, oh, light and dark, dark and light, and you've explained it perfectly. You said there's only one vibration, so light, there's only light, but your dark is the lack of. So I just love that, and that is so cool, Susan. I think you are just such an incredible, ancient teacher of wisdom.
Well, thank goodness you didn't say old.
You know what? They just are laughing at me going, right, Bonnie. Okay, you and I have tramped the earth, and maybe we weren't the best of the ancient teachers, because we do know some ancient scholars, but we were certainly interested in all of that. But, you know, one other thing I want to tell everybody, and we're going to go into a definition before we get onto the phone line, and that is, people ask, and Susan was one that brought it up, so I don't want to take credit for it, but, you know, I could take credit for it, but I'm not going to. The difference. Go ahead, Susan.
What great ethics you have. See how
Thank
well
you
taught you?
Thank you. Yes, I'm taught well. Pavlov's dogs. But sometimes I don't behave. So the thing is, that we were talking this weekend about souls and spirits and what the difference between making a soul connection and making a spirit connection is. And I love this because I never thought about it, but you're the one that kind of brought this to light. So please, because I love spirit and you connect with the soul. Even though I think I connect with the soul, but you connect with the soul.
Oh, we all do.
The fear.
Yeah, we all do. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we all connect with spirit in a certain way. You know, what we have. You know, there's so many levels of energies going on. And when people call in and say, you know, I lost my aunt or my father or mother, and or when I'm opening an Akashic record, someone's Akashic record, and souls show up in order to help explain proof
yes.
that they're caring and that they've been part of their soul family. They've been part of the contract that was made. And the spirit communication are of those that are still kind of in the processing station, the way station, and they're still part of this energetic dimension. Like they're like watching a movie versus of participating, and that's who Bonnie connects. And then you have, yeah, and then you have the spirit guides, okay, which are higher vibrational. Energetic ascended masters, teachers, angels that are have that direct communication to the one knowing, the one intelligence. There's no human or emotional baggage that goes with it. And when we speak to spirit, don't always assume, as Bonnie will tell you, that they got it all figured out. Now, they're still, you know, that's why we do lifetime after lifetime, is it because we carry the emotional imprints from one lifetime to another, maybe not the physical body, and we also care, and we may lose the memory, but if we pass on with a negative imprint that we had not resolved, then that imprint is still there, and you're going to try to resolve it through another type of life. Whereas when you speak to the soul is a God spark, okay, a fragment of the one. And the soul only has one purpose. There is no human baggage there. There's no ego there. There's no like, well, I thought I was going to. It only has one purpose and one purpose only. And that is what I tap into. And that is the experience of having a human life and what it is, what it came here to experience. It's not about good or bad or judgment or less than or more. It's the experience of growing and expanding and awakening and remembering that we are one, that we're not separate from each other or separate from this divine spark that we have within us that keeps us, that is the soul. It's the God spark. And that's what I communicate with, is that pure joyride that it, and the ego and the human perspective of it says, oh my God, there's no way that I wrote this life. My parents were shit. My life's been misery. I mean, it's like I haven't had a piece of luck, and my husbands were all assholes. Pardon my French on the listening audience, but. It's like no way. My kids, blah blah blah. There's no way I wrote this, but yes, you did. And the soul is rejoicing because it's thinking about like, oh my God, it's like I put all these challenges in front of me. It's like this is going to be such a ride, and then the veil drops, and that's what I read. is that the soul's pure joy of the experience. And sometimes people have, when they hear their Akashic records unfold, they relate to it, but, you know, they wonder, why would my soul write that? And it, so life is just a coat on, coat off to the soul.
Yeah.
All of this is a virtual reality game to the soul. And so there's no emotions, no judgment, I wish I would have, I wish I wouldn't have written this. But one thing that we must embrace is, and this is what I tell people when I do readings for them based on past life and Akashic records, is that if you wrote it, you can rewrite it. And that is very empowering. The only, there are some, it's like a college course. There are some major credits that are going to happen regardless, that you wrote. Maybe you come in with your race, gender, being handicapped, the environment that you know, the social structure.
Madonna, having all that money and husbands.
Yes,
absolutely.
Being a rock star, you know, or a homeless person. I mean, you wrote it. And there are things that you are absolutely going to experience in order for your soul to grow and expand. The choice is free will. How are you going to experience it, in growth and love and surrender, or in ego and negativity and resentment? And then there are electives, which and some of them, some people's electives are others' major credits. It's just all the credit. And that is like maybe having children or getting married or choosing a big career over being a housewife or, you know, going for the, you know, whatever it may be. It's like you make choices and you say, I think I'm going to prefer this over this. It's just a crossroads.
Well, I got to tell you something, sister, before we go to the callers on the phone who are probably chomping at the bit and couldn't care less what we're saying, but maybe not. but this is what I'm going to tell you. I had a major choice. I was going to go to medical school, getting my credits to go to medical school, or meeting somebody. Okay? So when I met that person, they did not want me to go to medical school. It's my husband, who I've been married to for 36 years, who I love and adore. But I always remember that choice and when I made it. I always think of what would have happened if I would have chose medical school. So sometimes our choices that we make, I think, are fated. And, you know, that's what probably your major decision. Because God help anybody if I had become a doctor. I'd have been a really great one, but I don't know. If anybody would have survived it.
That's a good point, Bonnie. That's a good point. You buried your husband aside. Oh, for God's sake, stop me from doing this because the Lord knows all the people that I would have treated.
That's right. I mean, you all got lucky. Yeah, but I had to say that. And we all go through major choices, and sometimes, like
you, you never wanted any children either. And look, and that,
I know.
That's,
don't tell them, though.
Yeah.
Don't
I mean,
tell
it was,
them, though. They love me to death, and I love them, and I practically live my whole life for them. But, yeah, I never saw myself with children, ever.
Neither did I. I never
know,
wanted
to. What's the matter with us?
Yeah, and you know the story behind me having my daughter. I mean, it's like spirit grabbed a hold of me, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, no, you are going to have this baby. And then the moment she was born, it's like the baby's father, he could, like bye.
Yeah. Well, mine was that I fell in love, you see. I fell in love with these. I mean, I never thought I could love anything, and I'm sure all of you out there understand, and then we're going to go to the phone lines, but I never felt pure joy and love. Yeah, I mean, my husband, I loved him so much. But when my first daughter came out, and my son at second, that I never thought I'd have because they told me I couldn't have anymore, I never felt that kind of joy. So, yes, even though I didn't want them, I guess it was spirit. And I wrote into my journey that I would find true love through my children also. So I think that's kind of like you. But we were kind of on the same journey. Different husbands, but same journey. But I would love, we could just sit here and chat, and I know that we could do this forever, and I talk to you forever anyway, but I think we need to get to the phone lines, if that's okay.
And hear what our wonderful listeners would like to join in on.
Yes, so you've got Queen Z and me and 519. You are on with both of us, or one of us, whatever. Hi.
Hi, so excited. Thank you, ladies. I was so into your conversation, I forgot it was the call-in show, too. I loved it.
That is so sweet. I love that because, we want to have a talk show. This is what I've always dreamed of with Susan, too. And we just hope that people would want to hear what we talk about, right?
We do. We do. All those little nuggets of wisdom come through when you're not listening to what you're saying.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, I'm glad at least if somebody got something out of this. But who are we speaking to?
Hi, Bonnie. This is Karen. I've never had the pleasure of talking
Karen.
To Susie Z either, so I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
This is my spiritual rest day. I wasn't feeling good. I took the day off, which I never do, and I'm laying outside in beautiful weather in Canada and listening to this beautiful show, and thank you for taking my call. I feel so blessed.
Karen,
maybe you'll feel better.
Well, wait a minute,
God only knows
what Susan's going to tell you, so that's when you'll think about feeling better. But wait a minute, Susan, Karen called in. I don't know her personally, but I know her from the phone lines. She's a wonderful soul, as you can feel, and I'm so happy she called in. And, you know, Canada, I love. My son's girlfriend's coming from Canada the next couple of weeks. But what can we do for you, Karen? Now, you heard that Susan opens Akashic Records.
Exactly. That excites me.
It's just been a long time since anybody told me that I excited them. Thank you, Karen.
True. I tell you, you excite me all the time. Well, not like that, but I mean that you excite me in talking.
Okay. Karen, the first thing that I would like to ask you is your age.
I am 56.
Okay. You, of course, if you were listening, you understand that you are in the age of what they call the cryon return, which is when the dream soul fully awakens, is completely aware of what you came here to do, and your higher self is pushing to redo, reset, rethink, let go of, because you have gone through the previous soul window of understanding that this isn't an endless game. And so it's like, wow, we're in the last stretch here. let's see if we can either push forward or, clean out that upstairs attic that we've just ignored forever and, let's go for it. So the next thing I would like to ask you is that what is it that you do for a career and have done in the past?
I'm an intuitive artist. For 30 years I've done murals. I am in sales right now and It went full time, so I have been still painting on the side, which I love. But I've been in sales and worked with the public a lot, with interior design, and I'm very intuitive with color and design, and just very creative.
Okay. And when you say you're in sales, what is that?
I'm selling memberships for Costco, actually.
For what? For Costco?
Yeah.
Don't ask for one, Susan. You don't need to ask the customers. That caller is for a membership. I can already hear, Costco. Here we go.
Costco,
okay. He's in Canada. You can't get one. So go ahead.
Okay. And you, I mean, I could actually write what your gifts are, but I want to ask you, what do you consider your gifts? I mean, and not only in your you've given us your creative gifts, but in every realm, what you consider your gifts?
I'm very one of my gifts is being able to forgive easily, to love through the illusion. I'm very empathic. I can calm people down just by being in their presence. I'm able to. A lot of people will come to me that have lost people, and I can just feel. I think they feel that I know how they feel. So although I'm selling memberships, which doesn't excite me, I'm sorry, I love Costco, but I feel that I'm there for a different reason, and I'm able to touch a whole different segment, very varied part of the segment of people I meet on a day-to-day basis. So I think one of my gifts is just being able to touch someone's heart in a very... It's more like the spark and then it's over. I have a few seconds. People share their life story within 5 minutes. I'm able to hold their hand if I have to, tell them I love them or that things are fine, take their picture and off they go.
Wow. All right. And what is it that you like about yourself?
I love that I can love no matter what.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I love that I can, in spite of whatever happens, that I'm able to forgive and love as easily and quickly as I do.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you right off the bat that your whole essence is that, in case people miss this, all right, that are listening, is that I asked her what she liked about Karen, what she liked about herself, and what the word that she used is what I love about myself. And that says everything right there.
Aww.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see what we've got here. And don't take this. This person. This is my tude that I have with spirit, or whoever is, you know, gives me these visuals, because I, you know, I go, well, that's stupid, you know. And it's not you. It's like, because I think they just
don't
like
take
to torture
a hand, Karen.
Yeah,
I would never.
So I go, oh yeah, okay, that's right. Well, the first thing that I'm seeing here, which is the top part, is tools, is like a cartoon of exploding flowers. All right, so we'll figure out what's
out.
Oh,
I already can figure it out.
Okay. Well, don't. You let me.
I won't let you read them. Don't worry, I'm not going to say words. Go ahead.
Because I have other to add to this. All right. And then next to it is actually a silver gravy urn. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing here. And the foundations are really interesting. It's they're mosaic tiles. All right, and they're in all these beautiful blues. They are the floor tiles of a temple, and it is showing water scenes. Okay, like fish and urns and moons and stars, very, very beautiful. It's like the mosaics when they unearth the Greek temples. So I'm going to assume everything that I'm looking at here, you were in that civilization when the Greeks were at their finest, when they were creating. If anyone, okay, you know, I have that spirit guide that loves the movie, and they're going, my big fat Greek wedding, you know, the father, you know that the Greeks that invented. Well, that's what they're kind of showing me, is that you have these imprints. That's your foundation, is that you came here to, please, ghost, oh, my God, my hair's standing up. Go see Bonnie.
Go me, okay. me. Come to me.
You definitely have the imprints of a higher evolved soul. Okay, you've been through the dirtiness, okay, of what life is about, and you've chosen this life to show everybody and to bring the energy of what's so cool about being alive. And that's what so many people miss about with life, regardless of the challenges and that we face. And what I mentioned when we first started the show is that to the soul, this is a really cool gift, regardless of what it is that you're facing or dealing with or what you wrote for yourself. It is, the soul is thrilled to have the opportunity to experience. And through that, what we must understand is that God spark within is that this divine being that we are a part of, and it's not like that one Southern author that he was trying to explain, he was a divine being, and they thought he was talking about a being, like a divine pea, you know, the divine being, you know, I don't know what part I said that to me, but it's like the divine being that we're a part of, not the being, that we're, it is also experiencing it with us. And that's what this is all about, is the wonderful experience. And what you have chosen in this lifetime is to bring beauty, okay, to literally kind of, and they're showing me this like a flower taser. You know, tasers aren't pretty, and they certainly aren't comfortable. But they're showing me that that's what you came in with, a taser that literally touches them and they burst into flowers with inside. And they go, oh, yeah, that's right. This life is a gift. Okay. Even for a nanosecond, you awaken them to the gift. So that's what the flowers are for. I'm surprised they didn't put a taser here, but that's what it feels like when you touch them and you talk to them and you're in their presence. Of course, the mosaic foundations is the you've lived so many lives creating beauty, and you are definitely part of that Greek civilization of creating the mosaic floors and that type of thing. And now, the silver gravy urn, do you like to cook?
I do. I don't give myself that pleasure very often, but I love to, yes.
Okay.
I'm a baker.
You love food and you like to cook?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's what the gravy urn is about. Is it because they're also showing me like a big Italian mother? I'm not that I'm calling you big, but, you know, the Italian mother. You know, gathers all the kids every Sunday. Well, like my big fat Greek wedding. You know, they have 50 people in the front roasting lamb. You know, in their front. Well, that's what the gravy urn is about. And I think what Spirit is also saying is that's you should do more of that because you love that, and you just save it for special occasions. Just do it for yourself. Make yourself a pretty plate or something because. You've had lives where food was, you know, people in talk in terms of food being something bad now. You know, they either have to be a granola head, eat sparse and vegetarian, and, you know, and but food, I mean, is an aphrodisiac. I mean, it yeah. should be viewed as that. Yes,
it's
oh my God, it's a gift from this place that we have incarnated. Starting from the vegetables that we eat, and you know, and to the beautiful animals that share with us their essence, whether you're a vegetarian or a meat eater or whatever, it's an essence, a scent, and it's like, and now because of the way our society is, it's like, you know, be skinny. Food is bad. We've forgotten it. I mean, as rude as the French are and the Italians, and I love them both because I've been involved with both, and Greeks. I used to love Greeks.
Me
when
too.
I was, when I was young, is that they understand the love affair that you have with food. And that's what I think they're trying to say here. Is that, you know, that's part of the love affair that you brought in with you, and that please remember that, you know, when as going forward, even if it's just for yourself, because it triggers a memory within you of like, yes, I'm supposed to awaken every sense that people have here about what a gift this life is.
Oh, that's my gosh.
So
I took a course once, and it was to identify what your life purpose, or what your, I forget, what do they call it, your defining statement. And what came out of it was using my gifts and talents to sprinkle love and magic into the lives of others. And that's what it feels like. You just described it. It's like, in the moment, I love the surprise element. I can take nothing and create something where people stop and go, what? Wow, we're like, and then it's done, and I'm on. Just even I dressed up as Halloween, but all day I just painted my face and just created this crazy costume with a hat full of roses and paintbrushes coming out of it. And I hand painted my jacket like Alice in Wonderland, and because I woke up too late, I promised someone I would do their face, so I quickly just did a skeleton. But she had red lipstick and. All day long, people were walking by the desk.
Oh, the Day of the Dead skeleton? Oh, that, what do they call it? The one with the pretty furs. Oh, I love that. I never have the nerve to do it, but I love that look.
You should do it. Well, it was so funny because I had people coming up and interrupting and just going, I love your costume. I don't know what you are, but awesome. And I just the whole day,
awesome.
The surprise element was, and that's what I love to do is just, create something in that moment to surprise, and then it's almost like sprinkle gone, sprinkle. My sister described it once as, she goes, you walk into a mall, we go into a store, everybody's doing their thing. In 5 minutes, you've got everybody talking, and she goes, it's like you go in, you sprinkle magic. She says, next thing you know, they're all laughing and joking, and you walk out and leave.
Yep, that's the exploding flowers. That's what I mean about the
exploding flowers.
You gaze at them and the flowers explode.
Yeah.
Is there any questions? Yeah, thank you for allowing me to look at your Akashic record because it was beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Is there any questions that you have in terms of what it is that I've shared with you before? Bonnie, you can feel her chomping at the bit over here. we're gonna let Tinkerbell loose real quick here.
Well, Tinkerbell saw all of this, and Tinkerbell saw those exploding flowers, and Tinkerbell saw all the mosaics on the floor, and I also saw you walking on them. So I can tell you that I can see how you were dressed. I can see what you were doing as a Grecian goddess. Okay.
And the mosaic, right.
So, you know, but the thing is I can't add anything that wouldn't be added.
Just a minute. Karen, do you have any questions in terms of what I just said to you?
Yeah, I mean, in all of that, I sit here going, okay, I'm working at a job that, thank goodness I have those people in those moments because my soul feels like it's it feels like it's crying. I know that I'm in the latter part of my life. I know that I have so much to give. I'm not able to cook and bring my family together. Like, I don't know what it is that's holding me back from doing, I'm showing up and doing that, but I'm not knowing why I'm so sad and why I'm experiencing migraines.
Because you're not giving it to yourself. That was the that's what the urn, that's what the gravy urn is about. It's like when we have food and you know, like a great, like Thanksgiving, what is it that tops it off, that makes it so good, the turkey and the mashed potatoes and the is when you pour the gravy all over it. And it's like, and that's what you give yourself, is that you're giving it to everyone else and you're forgetting to remember how joyous you are inside. It's like you need to reverse something. You need to taser yourself, girlfriend. I mean, that's where the sadness is coming from, is because you miss it. I mean, you're watching everyone's flowers explode, and you come and you look within and you go, oh wow, I forgot to water my flowers today. Oh, lost another set. You know,
My children don't even come home. They don't have that experience where they want to come to mom's to eat. Like, I'm like, what? I'm trying to, you know, do all this in life, and it's yet I look at my own life and I'm thinking, wow, I'm seeing it everywhere else.
Go find a children's home or a homeless shelter and cook the shit out of it, you know. And it's like offer, you know. I mean,
thank you. They're gonna take us off the air.
I'm sorry. I don't know who cares. Somebody's
okay,
making me
I get
talk
it.
Like this. So she gets it. She understands why I'm talking like this.
Yeah,
like, but
I get
it. Oh, I mean, take. Yeah, you take your gift. It's like, don't wait for it to come to you. You know, like, go, like I said, find a homeless shelter and go and volunteer on Sunday. Go to a children's home and make pies. I mean, something. You know,
can I get in here? Can I get in here for just a second? I mean, you know, give me a second.
I love you.
Give me a second.
That's where you fill up. And your children have moved on. Your children, they've taken. You've given them everything that they need to pollinate, okay?
Yeah.
And it's like now, and that's what you're missing, is kind of like empty nest syndrome type of thing. So go find other, you know, other places that you can nurture go and taser a building full of homeless people, God's sake. You know?
Okay.
You know,
well, I'm going to step in here because then we have to get to the next caller, Susan.
Yes.
Let me just tell you this. But I have to tell you this because this is before we actually have to get off here. What I feel is, don't walk. You know, you want all these people to walk your, you know, don't look at, they have their own life journey to walk. And so, Karen, they're done. You've given them, like Susan said, what they need. And when you still have that emptiness inside you, you want to have to give it to yourself and then spread it to others, like Susan is saying, that really need it, because you can make a difference in other people's lives and paths that are already in need, versus you've already given your kids their life path. So you've kind of pushed them on their way, and they're gone. They're actually on their life path. They're not gone, but they're on their life path. And if you want to make a difference, you need to go and find, like Susan said, people that really need your spirit. So I hope you got a lot out of this, but I have to move to the next caller.
I did. I love you both. Thank you so much.
I love you.
Thank you for sharing. It was wonderful.
Thank you, Karen.
Namaste.
Thank
Bye.
You. Namaste.
Bye.
Or as I used to say, Nastame. Okay. For Susan, we are going to the next caller. Are you ready?
Susan?
Oh, yes. Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I drifted. I'm sorry.
You're drifting along with those flowers and the taser. You need to stay here on the show. Again.
Yeah, it's like I'm still watching the exploding flowers, you know.
Yeah. Well, explode here, please. 480, you are on with Susan and Bonnie. Hi.
So much fun going on this afternoon.
Oh my gosh, you're right. We have so much fun. It's ridiculous. I have to pull Susan back into line because she's halfway off with the other caller in their mind. So, hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Mike from where?
I just moved to California yesterday.
I'm a newbie in California, too.
Oh, wonderful. What part?
I live right outside of the East San Francisco Bay Area, a little town called Arinda.
Oh, okay. I'm north of L.A. in a little hippie spiritual town called Ojai.
Oh,
I'm clueless,
I love
but I'll look
that.
It up.
Yep.
Oh, I love that.
In between 15 minutes from Ventura and then a half hour from Santa Barbara.
Oh, well, I'm sure it's beautiful. I love California.
We've got we have a spiritual hippie here, Susan. I absolutely love this.
I'm not. The community is.
I'm kidding, but I love it because if you're not, you're not going to stay. So therefore, you must fit in some way.
Well, exactly. There you go. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So how can Susan and I help you today?
Well, I mean, I'm open for whatever, but I do have, when I moved here, I just took a job bartending, and I haven't started yet. And there's a couple places that are right here in the neighborhood that want to speak to me, kind of showed up like the 11th hour right before the move the other day, and they want me to come in and so forth. So I'm going to get my real estate license and everything like that once I get settled and so forth and go forth with that. And the bartending helps financially support myself while I, you know, basically start a new business. So I'm kind of looking at some insight in regards to is of my potential three options, is one better than the other? And then, you know, kind of, you know, where do you see the real estate thing going?
Okay. Is it my understanding that you've already been hired for one? Is that
One place that and that starts with a G has already hired me, but that's a half hour 40-minute drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then two others I could literally probably almost bike ride.
Okay. Bonnie, I'm going to go ahead and let you because I your brain is burning, so I can smell it all over in California. Why don't you? I'm just like, you know, why settle? So, you know, okay.
Yeah. Well,
right.
You know, my point is, you know, Susan said that, but what I'm hearing is a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. So to me, you have this job. That doesn't mean you can't go meet with these other two people. Have you met with them already?
No, I just got into town yesterday, and I reached out to one, and the other one won't be until Wednesday.
Okay, here's what I'm hearing. You have no ties anywhere. So going to – you don't – go ahead.
No, that's just what I was hearing is that try them all. And what's a good fit?
Right, exactly. Because you're not, you know, another thing is when I hear a bird in the hand, that means to me that until these two people come up to the plate, you've got a job. So that doesn't mean because you have a job that you have to keep it, because everybody knows that, you know, you could always, and believe me, there's plenty of people to take your place if you don't decide to work there. But I don't want you to assume that either one of those will work out until you meet with them, because I would rather see you at a job you like. I love to see you ride a bicycle to work. I love that idea. But again, they're telling me a bird in the hand. So that means before you leave one job, go meet with these two people. You can't lose anything. It's not like you are committed to this job forever. It's not a, you know, something you have to sign a contract for. So I say absolutely go, like Susan, go check them all out. But in the meantime, you can feel good because you have a job. It won't be your dream job, but it is a job and it will get you where you need to go. These two people might actually work out perfect. In fact, I really believe that you'll weigh one of them versus the gas and trying to get your time. And then if they offer you, even if it's a lower, you're not going to make as much money, it'll save you. Because I see your brain going, it'll save you in time, gas, and your time is worth money. So I feel like one of them will work out really well for you, but I say go for all of them and see which one works out the best.
Yeah. Susan, I'm also hearing networking.
Yeah.
Because you're going for your real estate license there.
Yes.
It's like you know how important networking is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you're good at it because I can feel it.
Yes.
I feel you're going to do well.
Yeah, and people like you. And so I say, the world's your oyster at this point. It's just what you want and what, you know, you like, you don't have to settle, but just knowing, I feel like your brain says, just knowing you have something, because you don't seem like to me, you're a fly by night kind of guy. So you like to have something. So you've got what you've got until you're ready to move on. But I feel that the other two jobs going to go, one will work out actually until you get your real estate license. And then I don't know if they're both, are they real estate places?
No, these are both restaurants.
One of them will work out really well.
Yeah, bartending serving. One's fine dining and one's not.
Yeah, one's going to work out really well. And I'm almost going to tell you I like the fine dining one because I see you walking with the silver tray and I see some type of angel on you. So I would imagine it's going to be the fine dining one. You're going to make some good money. But I feel like it'll put you in the position also where you are going to be able to network for when you do go into real estate, because I feel like that's where your passion lies.
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's good. You made a how old are you, Mike?
A young 45.
All right.
Oh,
you're in your prime, sweetie. Yes, you're in your prime. You said it very well. I think this move that you made was one of those things that all of us have experienced where spirit grabs you by the back of the neck and it's like you're gone, sweetie. You know,
and I have friends here from where I'm originally from, and I've been visiting often for the past 18 months, and literally a month, 6 weeks ago was the last time I was here. I was just kind of rolling in the surf north of Ventura and just kind of hanging out by myself, and it was just like, this is where you need to be. I was like, okay.
That's it.
You know what's so funny? I'm hearing there's a song. You know, you get the movie guide. I get the song guide. Roland, it's not Roland with the Homies. It's another one. Roland has given me a song, and it's because we just didn't laugh, and I can't figure the song out, but it's not Roland with the Homies, because I know that song is Roland with the something, not Roland with the Tide. There you go. Rolling with the Tide is what they want you to know, is that's going to be your, that's what you wanted for your life. But you're more, I feel like you're more meticulous than that. See, I could roll with the Homies and I can roll with the Tide because I wouldn't care if I didn't have, like, I would never look, but you do. You need to have structure a little bit. So even though you love it, you need some plan, structure, and you will get it. I also feel they show me the four.
Though is that because he just went with it. I mean that.
Yeah.
And usually the you know when spirit is in the driver's seat is when you do something that's contrary to your ego nature.
Do you know what, Susan? You know what I'm seeing with him? And you can probably explain it. But the minute he started talking, the fool card came out. The guy with the back, you know, the karma. Remember, he's taking his karma with him. You know, as Ron will describe it, it's the guy that walks off the cliff. The dog's trying to stop him, but he's got a smile on his face. And he's got the little bag packed in the back, you know, with a scarf on that stick. Karma, what, how Ron describes it is your little bag of karma's coming with you. So that's fool card.
Oh, yeah,
do you know what?
Yeah.
What's fool card? Because that's what's sitting right in front of me, Susan, in my face. I see the fool card with him.
Well, I think this is a place of healing for you. I mean, there's no question about that. Have someone in your life, a partner or?
Well, I that's kind of
running away.
Thing.
From
my last day, the last time I was here, I met a girl, and I went. I was like, all right, we're just going to meet for an hour and hang out for an hour, and then I'm going to the beach. Well, next thing you know, it's 5.5 hours later. I didn't get to the beach, and we've been texting ever since. So I almost feel that it was the fire moving here, and then it just kind of needed a little gasoline poured on top to ensure that I actually followed through and moved here.
Interesting.
Susan,
the fool card is the zero. It's the start of a new, you know, beginning. The childlike idea of just going with it. And that's what I see with him. So I love that he actually did it, which is really very cool for you.
Yes.
Definitely a new chapter in your life that I just feel it like, I don't know why, but, oh God, what a visual. Thank you. I was expecting something really artistic. I'm still with Karen. Did you ever, you know, if you've ever watched an anthill and them all pile out all at once in a swarm, it's like that's what they just showed me about your move, is that literally that it's an explosion of networking. For you, that new friends, new jobs, new opportunity, new people, new experience. Yeah, I mean, millions of ants just exploded out of this anthill. And I thought, oh, well, gee, that's going to be a nice visual to share with Mike.
Yeah. No, but it makes sense in the way that you stated it, because I was in Scottsdale for 2.5 years and literally, I mean, nobody knew or really cared that I left yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
There was no foundation.
I can relate.
Moving from the Midwest in Michigan, it was more of just kind of, I get the impression that it was just kind of, okay, we got you close to where you need to be. Just hang out here for a little bit, have some fun, and then we'll let you know when it's time to bounce.
Well, let me ask you a question. This has nothing to do with your reading here. So I got to know. So my daughter is going to be interviewing in Michigan at William Beaumont and at University.
I grew up right down there. Troy or Royal Oak?
Royal Oak.
Yeah, I know. I lived right down the street. I went to the Catholic high school right across the street from there.
Well, is it nice?
Royal Oak is trendy and awesome.
Well, that's great, because, you know, that's a great hospital, although she's got a lot more choices. How about the University Hospital? Where is that? Because I was going to send her to both to interview at for residency. Do you know where University Hospital is?
University Hospital. Is it in Oakland County?
Yeah.
University Hospital. Is that Creighton in Rochester?
I don't know. No, it was Seacock. What was the name? You know that little island that shuts down? It shuts down, like, because you can't get across it without a sailboat, without a boat. In the winter, it crosses. I think it was called Sea Something. So it's the S name that hospital's in. That's why I thought it would be nice. It would be in a nice area.
Is it? I mean, the only thing with an island that I know is downriver in Gros Eel.
I don't know.
I don't know if there's a big hospital.
Okay, but you think she'll like William Beaumont?
Royal Oak is amazing. Anywhere in Oakland County, she's going to be fine. Because Oakland County before the crash, in 2008, was the fourth wealthiest county in the nation because you had extreme blue-collar wealth there along with other, entrepreneurial wealth. So it is – Oakland County is – it's banging.
Okay, good.
So all the stuff that you see in Chicago – like in downtown and shopping and restaurants and stuff like that, is in Detroit, it's reversed. It's out in the suburbs and not in the city, even though the city's kind of coming back a little bit.
I am so excited you just told me that. Susan, so what do you think? I mean, William Beaumont's one of the hospitals she's going to be interviewing at.
You know how every time you throw a dozen hospitals at me, I go, duh.
Well, and the great – and the great thing is she's going to have to go up to Grand Traverse Bay and Traverse City in the summertime to vacation because that is Mecca up there. Wineries, breweries, the food.
Wow.
The red-haired chef from the show The Chow?
Yeah.
Bartelli or whatever. He's from Seattle. His wife lived there, so he tells the story that he'd go once a week just to appease her for a year. And now, literally, they live there in the summertime on Lake Michigan because of all the amazing food and wine and beer.
Ooh,
that's up there.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh my goodness. Now, well, she's going up in January to think she's going to need snow boots.
Oh, it's going to be cold as flipping hell.
Well, you know what? I'm so mad. I told her to put
that's
it
why
in
I moved.
Hell, Jesus, what is that they say?
It's cold as hell.
Well, Lisa, I hope that doesn't deter her because she's a Florida girl. But
she loves
trendy places. Don't say
it, well.
Please. Because I should have made her take it in December or November. But I didn't think it was that great of a place. And it turns out this is a big Mecca place. So, my fault, my bad, but you know what?
Awesome condos downtown, quaint little bungalows and different things like that out in the city. The school system used to be amazing, but so many young people, 20s and 30s, that live there now that they've closed down a bunch of the schools just because there's no kids in the city anymore.
Well, I am excited. You just made me feel really good. And so you gave me a reading, well, at least on my daughter's place, and we gave you a reading. So there's the exchange of energy.
Fantastic. I'm glad I could help.
Yeah,
and maybe I was the call because of that.
Yes. I mean, think about that.
You just never know.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
You know what's
That's
so
right.
funny is she's dating a guy named Mike, so I almost got scared. If you told me you were from New York, I would have had to ask you. So, all right. Thank you, Mike. You are going to do amazing things. You're going to meet amazing people. And I feel like your heart is going to say it's grateful every day that you are in California, because that's how I feel that you're going to feel.
Yeah, same here. I feel that, too.
Day one feels like it already. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Well, let us know. Don't keep us in the dark. We'll let you know about Lauren. You let us know how you're doing, okay?
I certainly will. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mike,
bye-bye, Mike. Thank
bye-bye.
You. Oh, what an awesome guy. What an awesome caller.
information about the hospitals. I mean, serendipitous,
I know. When he said Michigan, because had he never said Michigan, I would never have asked. So I think that is the coolest thing. I mean, Art's like real excited. It's an Army hospital. And, of course, he's all excited. But, I should have – are you kidding? She's going to have to wear her snow boots and, I don't know, another coat. But 928, you are on with Bonnie and Susan. We only have like 11 minutes. So
hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? I haven't spoken to you two in a very long time, and you're my – two most favorite duo team.
Is this Organic
Sky? This is Maggie.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in here.
Aren't we all?
Yes. Maggie, tree card lady. This is the tree card, Susan.
This is what?
I read tree cards.
Remember, she was read it on our show.
Oh!
I'm
a long time ago.
I'm a willow tree. And then you wrote a book and you left us.
Yeah. Well, I've been trying to come back in. I've been listening to your show whenever I can. And Blog Talk Radio doesn't like me. My computer, like, crashes. And so little by little, I'm finally able to get into you today.
What's going on?
We're so happy, Maggie. And I'm so happy. Anytime you want to come back with your tree cards, sweetheart, you know I love them. And I'll put a show on for you.
Awesome. Yeah, let's do that.
All right, get a hold of me. And, you know, you can always talk to, I think, you can always get a hold of me, you know, balbers714@aol.com. And get a hold of me, Maggie. You have my stuff. So, but anyway, we only have 9 minutes, and I want you to get a question in, honey, because if I knew you were on, of course, Susan talked and talked and talked, so now we only have 9 minutes. So go ahead, Maggie. Go for it. What's going on, girlfriend?
Well, my son just came back from his round the world tour and with his girlfriend that he met in Ecuador, and she's absolutely adorable. She's from New Zealand, and they're going to get married. Yeah, and so I'm just kind of like wondering, like, the next phase of my life, do you see me like leaving here, Arizona, like within the next year or so? I want to get into like writing for profit, do like copywriting and such, and I'm wondering if that will bring me some income where I can start traveling again and possibly move. I'd love to move to Mexico.
What kind of writing are you going to do?
It will just be like copywriting. You know, people hire you to write articles and or blogs.
Have you done this before?
No.
Okay. What I'm hearing is that I think this will work out well for you, but you need to get a go-between. Is what I'm hearing. Like what they would call like an agent or something like that. Do you have anything like that?
No.
Okay. That's what I'm hearing. What I'm hearing is that you're a very, very good writer. And
yes.
Broad range. If I said, can you write about my toothpick in the bathroom? You go, oh, yeah, I could write a whole story about that. So it opens many doors for you. But I'm also hearing is that you want to find someone that knows how to creatively use you. All right. So I'm not really sure if there's a writer's network or a writer's blog that you can like get involved in and say, hey, you know of anybody where I can submit, you know, but what I'm hearing is that you need a go-between, a middleman person that that can funnel it out for you. But yes, I think you can earn a very decent living at doing this, but you need a little help.
Okay.
You know, Bonnie? I'm hearing that song. I'm hearing that song. I'm hearing that song.
Too quiet. Way too
quiet. I know.
Quiet.
Because I have a thing formulating in my head, and it wasn't anywhere near what I wasn't thinking about what you were saying. All I could see was Maggie's tree card.
Thinking about what you wanted to say.
Yeah. All I see, Maggie, is your tree card. And you revising them and making tree cards and putting together a tree card tarot book. And that's what it is showing me so clearly, this book and these cards. So I don't know whether you have them, and I'm not actually seeing you make them, but I'm actually seeing you have them. But I'm going into this whole direction of they're showing me the different trees, how you're going to put them on the cards, and what your book is going to look like. So I know you're not thinking about that because you also do the pranic tube and you're way too scientifically up there for me. But I can tell you that if you come back down to the trees, they need your help. So I know that Susan's been talking to you about you're a fabulous writer, and I know that like everything, the boxes are ticked off.
You're intelligent. You can write. You can copyright. You can or copy something right. You can do editing. You can work for a company that you read and you know, proofread. Say all kinds of things. You can, you know, do anything you want. You have the power, the brain, and the background for anything, and you're a good researcher. But they keep bringing me back to the cards and the book. So that's where I'm headed. So you got Susan's answer, and then mine is there's projects that you haven't done that you can also on the side do, because I don't know how much money that will make you, but I know spiritually they'd love to see you put that out there.
Awesome. Are you picking up anything about me moving?
Absolutely.
I never saw you staying, even when, you know, I just have never seen you staying. So I feel like you're you're like the energy of the universe. So I think wherever you want to be, you can be. And I don't have necessarily...
And quicker than you think. And because it's like you think that you're going to have to save money and blah, 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 and get it, you know, I think the opportunity is going to come up unexpectedly for you, that you're going to wind up where you want to be. Maybe not right on the spot, but close enough to like kind of like a, you know, a pre-trial type of thing, but definitely get you close to where it is that you want to be a lot quicker than you think you're going to get there.
Yeah.
Awesome. The only thing I'm holding up about is, like, I still have my dog, and he's getting up there in years, and I'm just kind of, like, waiting for him to make his transition.
I got to ask you a question, Maggie, because this is what I'm also seeing, Susan, so I want to see what you pick up. Like, I feel like, because as soon as you said, but I have, and I thought you were going to say a house. But what, do you own your house?
Yes.
Okay, here's what I'm seeing, and I'd love your opinion. Susan, I'm seeing they're also telling me that you could use
Everyone hear that? Mark that down. Take your bell down. Ask me for my opinion.
Well, I only said that if I wanted to include you, that's all. But but I would get a question for you. What I'm seeing, because it's weird, because I've got all these visions of different things. But one of the things I see, Maggie, is that you need a steady income. And if you rent your house versus sell it, because in Mexico you're not going to buy anything anyway, that you actually can live on the income that you can rent your house for.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because I'd like to move on to the beach. And Americans cannot buy property on the beach where I plan to go. So I would rent.
Yes. And what I'm seeing is you can rent your place for more than it will cost plus an income. So I feel like even though that's why I guess I see you with the cards and the book and all that kind of stuff. I don't think you're going to have to worry if that's where. I think the places you will be going to,
you actually
can use your house as an income. So don't sell it. Okay.
Awesome, because you read my mind, because being jumbled around the back of my mind, whether to sell or to rent.
Rent, definitely rent. I mean, you don't have to take my opinion, because I don't want you to come back and say, oh my God, I destroyed the house. But the thing is that renting is a headache in itself, but the income that you'll make, and I feel like you need roots. So the roots will stay there. And that way you will never have to worry if, God forbid, you have to come back or don't have a place or you're in between. So I feel like don't sell the house is what I'm hearing.
Perfect. Thank you so very much, both of you.
You're welcome.
Oh, Maggie, get on the phone.
You're fabulous.
Thank you. Well, I'm sure you were thinking it, but I didn't give you a chance to say it. But yeah, but you know what's so funny is while you're talking, Susan, I was off in the ethers with all this other stuff for her. So that's what's really cool. You actually answered her question, and I'm off there going,
you're going to get there before you think you are. You have to save all this money.
Yeah.
And then, of course, your little real estate mind started thinking.
Yes, we make a good pair. But anyway, I've got to get off. I have 60 seconds. I do want to tell everybody before I leave that I will not be here tomorrow. I have a friend that needs me to take them to the doctor.
And I feel like everything would be okay. You know who it is, Susan. And so we will be back here Wednesday for your family, Susan. It's going to be Annabelle Miller, Brenda Brand, and Brenda's son, which is Annabelle's grandson, Zach Brand, and he is going to be reading for you. First time on our show, four generations, if Susan comes, and I'm hoping that she will. But anyway,
I just got to call in and say hi, you know?
Yes. And then Thursday, you have Jerry Humphreys from the UK. He's a spirit tarot medium, pet communicator, and CEO of the magazine, Psychic Insight Magazine. He is just fab. So everybody have a great day tomorrow. I will miss you. Thank you, Maggie. Get a hold of me. Susan, love, kisses, and everything all over. And same with all
Thank
of you.
You
Thank
Mark.
You for listening. Thank you, everyone, for listening, being
Bye-bye.
Here, and
love
being
here. Love you guys.
Bye. Love you. Love
Bye.
You. Bye, everyone.
Love
and light to everyone.